Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13. Lord Brahma steals the cowherd boys and calves. Text 45. Tam yam tamovan naiharam padyotachir ivahani mahatitara mayashyam nihanti asmani yunjata tam yam tamovan naiharam kajyata chir ibahani Mahatitara Mayashyam Nihantyatmani Yunjata Tamyam Tamovan Naiharam Kadyota Chir Ibahani Mahati Tara Mayashyam Nihantyatmani Yunjata Tamyam Tamovan Naiharam Kadyota Chir Ibahani Mahati Tara Mayashyam Nihantyatmani Yunjata Yam. On a dark night, Tamavat, just as darkness, Naiharam, produced by snow. Kavyota Archi, the light of a glowworm. Iva, just as Ahani, in the daytime, in the sunlight. Mahati, in a great personality. Itaramaya, inferior mystic potency. Aishyam, the ability. Nihanti, destroys. Atmani, in his own self. Yunjata, of the person who attempts to use. Translation. As the darkness of snow on a dark night, and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of great power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one wants to supersede a superior power, one's own inferior power becomes ludicrous. Just as a glowworm in the daytime and snow at night have no value, Brahma's mystic power became worthless in the presence of Krishna. For greater mystic power condemns inferior mystic power. On a dark night, the darkness produced by snow has no meaning. The glowworm appears very important at night, but in the daytime, its glow has no value. Whatever little value it has is lost. Similarly, Brahma became insignificant in the presence of Krishna's mystic power. Krishna's Maya was not diminished in value, but Brahma's Maya was condemned. Therefore, one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence before a greater power. Tam yam tamovan naiharam kadyotachir ivahani mahatitara mayaishyam nihat yatmani yunjata. As the darkness of snow on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of day have no value, the mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of great power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutanaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasvichyade Jatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is not a good idea to try to show off your skill, whatever it may be, in front of a person who has much more skill. You may have some skill, so that is something. It is something. But compared to a person who has great skill, then your skill, whatever it may be, is going to look insignificant. And it even may look amusing. You know, sometimes when you know a language reasonably well, and then you have to deal with someone who doesn't know the language well, but sort of knows something, then they may try to show off, just see how I can speak Creole. Listen, but it sounds like, sure, something's gone wrong. There was a sign. I don't know if any of you ever saw it. I don't think it's there now. There was a sign at Kusum Sarova at Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan. There was a sign just out by the public road there, and it was explaining a little bit about the place. And it was saying something about how you shouldn't hurt the animals, the deer. So, that's good. That's nice. But the English that they used was so bad. It was just, it ended up like a joke. You would show people to it so they would laugh. Because, so it's like that. When you know how to do something, well, they say a little knowledge is dangerous. Yes. A little knowledge is dangerous. Give a man enough rope to hang himself. So, particularly if one wants to show off one's limited capabilities in front of a person who has great capabilities, you end up looking silly. Srila Prabhupada, people would come to meet him sometimes who had some knowledge of something Vedic. Maybe they read some version of Bhagavad Gita and something like this. And sometimes these people would come and try to argue with Prabhupada. But when you try to argue with, if you only have a small brain and small knowledge, you try to argue with someone who has big brain and big knowledge, well, you end up looking silly. There's so many cases like this. One famous case we mention sometimes was when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in New York 26 Second Avenue, that one day he was giving a class and speaking against taking drugs, because they're mainly hippies and they're very much into taking drugs. So Prabhupada was giving class speaking against that. And there was in the crowd a somewhat famous musician, at least in New York, and even around the world. He was something, not big time, but he was something. He was a known person. And he was big, like all of them, big drug taker. And he was very proud of it. So Srila Prabhupada speaking like that. And then at the end, well, Prabhupada specifically was actually referring to LSD, a drug called LSD, which is, anyway, it's one of those drugs, like recreational drugs, you could say. So Prabhupada said, you shouldn't take LSD. When question time came, the young man immediately put his hand up and said, you are criticizing the use of LSD, but what do you know about it? Have you ever tried it? And certainly Srila Prabhupada would definitely have not tried it. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, I have not tried it. And the young man said, well, how can you criticize it? He thinks he's very smart. He's caught Prabhupada now. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Giri Gauranam, Sri Sri Gaudataya Ki Jai. So he thinks he's caught Prabhupada. Just see, outsmarted him. And even he looked at some of his friends and they were nodding like, yeah, got him, good point. And Prabhupada replied, you do not have to taste stool to know that it tastes bad. So that young man was sort of devastated. He just had to leave. And, well, Srila Prabhupada, among many other things, was expert at taking a person's practically always silly argument and turning it around on them and smashing them with their own argument, directly or indirectly. So we saw so many times how Srila Prabhupada did, in one sense, what Lord Krishna is doing here with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has some mystic power. Actually, by our standards, he has great mystic power. By Krishna's standards, he's got very little mystic power. And for that matter, whatever mystic power he has got from Krishna. So, what can you do? I mentioned the other day somewhere, I forget where it was, that one time in London, I was there at the time, one very famous musician, youth, hippie musician, he was very, very famous, he came to visit Srila Prabhupada. It was arranged by Shamsunda, who knew many of these people. So this very famous singer at the time, his name was Donovan. He just went by one name, Donovan. So he came to visit Srila Prabhupada, and he was very interested in Krishna consciousness. And he was speaking with Prabhupada, and he was really enjoying it. It was very nice. But he had a girlfriend. She was a model. One of these models from the fancy fashion magazines, that type of person. So she was a very flashy girl. And she knew it. And she liked to be like that. People would look at her and admire her all the time. And she did not like it that her famous boyfriend is now apparently losing interest in her and becoming interested in other things. So she decided to say something, quote unquote, clever. She had a very short mini skirt on. And she had long hair, you know, very sort of fashionably done up. And she said to Prabhupada in a sort of, you know, unpleasant voice, "Why do you shave your head? And why do you wear those robes? Doesn't your head get cold?" So she said something like this. Prabhupada looked at her. Prabhupada said, "Better to have warm legs and a cool head than cold legs and a hot head." And so he just took her point and just turned it right around on her, the very same point, and just hit her over the head with it. And she understood that. And she got up and just walked out. And unfortunately, so did Donovan, although he didn't want it. But Srila Prabhupada, he was really so expert. There's another one which I read. It's not well known. It's in the Conversations books. There's a whole, like 25 books of Prabhupada's conversations. It's quite a job to read it. So there's this one conversation in Bombay, and these young people are saying to Prabhupada that it's all one. It's all one. Why do we need to serve Krishna? We can just serve humanity. It's easier. And they quoted, I forget what the Hindi is, but service to man is service to God. Famous slogan. Srila Prabhupada replied, if service to man is service to God, then service to God must be service to man. Wow. They had not thought of that before. And Prabhupada said, they're the same thing. Six, half a dozen. If you have six, you have half a dozen. If you have half a dozen, you have six. So if service to man is service to God, service to God must be service to man. They were stunned. Just like stunned. And Prabhupada then explained, you have to really, if the two are equal and they're good, then you have to understand which is easier. And then Prabhupada quoted Bhagavad Gita chapter 9 verse 26. Patra pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktya paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna said, you offer me one leaf, one fruit, one flower, a little water in devotion, I will accept it. So Srila Prabhupada made that point that it is so easy to serve God and please God. And Prabhupada made the point, well, actually elsewhere he makes the point, that Krishna, if you look at the Sanskrit, Krishna is asking for one of each, or either one fruit or one flower or one leaf. Just one, the singular is used. Krishna is not asking for many, just one. So, and then Krishna will be pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, he gives you his mercy and your life becomes wonderful. So Srila Prabhupada made that point. It is so easy to please God, to serve God successfully. So he is satisfied and happy, and he'll reciprocate with your service. But Prabhupada made the point, to serve man, humanity, first of all, there's now apparently 7 billion of them. I think it's a guess. But anyway, there's a lot. There's billions of them. How are you going to please them all? Even if you're Bill Gates, who has apparently $50 billion, and there's 7 billion human beings, you can only give each human being $7. And that's it. And how are you going to really satisfy someone with $7? Maybe a child might be satisfied for a little while with $7. But, you know, if it's somebody's birthday and you give them $7, they're not going to be impressed. It's not like a very substantial present. So Prabhupada made that point. You try to please humanity. There's so many of them. How are you going to do it? And many of them, like we've found on Food for Life in South Africa, I don't know what it's like here, but some people, you go out with Food for Life and you've got tons of prasadam, and some people, they look at it and they may take that much just to test it, and then they refuse it. They won't even accept it. And some of them feel insulted. Now, you're offering me free food. You think I'm just some useless street person. So some people feel insulted. Some don't like it. And So, it's not easy to satisfy people. And even if you do satisfy one person or some number of people, after a little while, they will feel dissatisfied again. Whatever satisfaction they got will be finished, and now they need something else. It's not that they're just going to stay satisfied forever, just because you gave them a free meal, for example. By tomorrow, they will really need another meal. So Srila Prabhupada explained to these young people like this, and they were, at least it appears from reading the transcript, they were dumbfounded. They couldn't say a thing. So Prabhupada was like that. If you try to be clever in front of someone who is much more clever, then even though you may be a little clever, but you're going to look very foolish, actually. Srila Prabhupada also told the story. I don't know if it's really a true story, but a story about one man in India. In the British period, he was working for some British people. He wanted to impress them. So he decided to learn some English. He learned three words. Yes, no, and very good. Four words. And so the English people would come and say something to them, to him, and he would just take it in turns to use one word, then the next word. Yes. Then someone else would come and say something. He would say, no. So one day, Prabhupada explains, someone stole something from the Englishman who was the boss. Somebody. Not actually that man, but somebody. And so the police came there interviewing everybody. The British police. So they came and interviewed this man. And now he didn't understand English at all. So they said to him, sir, did you steal the money? Yes. Are you going to give it back? No. Well, I'll have to take you to jail. Very good. Better to keep humble and admit if you don't really know. Even I had the experience myself, I must admit, living in South Africa, many people use the Afrikaans language. It is, you could say, a dialect of Dutch. So living there for some years, I can speak a little Afrikaans, but really not much. So then I went to Holland, and mixing with the Dutch devotees, who all speak English actually, but of course they speak Dutch properly. And I spoke to them a little in my broken Afrikaans. After a few hours they said to me, look, just speak English. So here, two examples are being given. One we may have a little difficulty relating to. Snow. Snow at night. Snow sort of darkens things. Now, you may not have had much experience here in Maurice with snow. Was there ever any snow on the highest peak of something, one's lake? No. Okay. So, no, we perhaps can't relate with the example in terms of experience, but snow darkens things measurably. You know, if you have a light meter, you can measure. If there's snow, even if it's a clear day, the amount of light energy is measured in units called kelvins. It becomes reduced. Snow has that effect somehow. I mean, snow is sort of white. But actually it darkens things. But at night, when everything is just dark anyway, then the snow, whatever darkening effect it might possibly have, it doesn't make any difference. The darkness of night is darker than the darkness of the snow, and so it's just, you might as well not have any snow. It literally makes no difference at all. And glowworms. I assume you have glowworms in Maurice. Srila Prabhupada says elsewhere, it may even be a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, I forget exactly the source, but I came across it a few years ago. In the absence of the sun, a glowworm may look impressive. In the absence of the sun, you may think, oh, look, some light. Oh, how nice. In the absence of the sun, it is actually spoken in the context of a like pseudo spiritualist, bogus guru type, you know, this sort of person who is some bogey yogi, someone like that, trying to teach some sort of Vedic something, but it's all nonsense actually. He's just twisting things and abusing it. And so he's not offering anything which will help at all. But people who are uninformed, they may think, oh, philosophy, how nice. He's some big guru. So this is the context in which the statement is made. In the absence of the sun, a glowworm may look impressive. So in the absence of Krishna and the pure devotees of Krishna, some bogey yogi with some so-called Bhagavad Gita philosophy, but it's actually just his mental concoction, innocent, foolish people may be impressed and think, ah, enlightenment. I remember many years ago, Shri Ketan Prabhu may remember, the Beatles came out with a song called I Am the Walrus. You know what a walrus is? It's a big seal, you could say. I am the walrus. You know, and it was just such a nonsense. As the title suggests, it was a ridiculous song. But at one point in the song, John Lennon says, I am you, and you are me, and we are all together. This is hippie version of bogey yogi philosophy, because the hippies were also into bogus Vedic philosophy to some degree. So I remember being with some of my so-called friends in those days when that record came out and listening to it with them. And when John Lennon said, I am you and you are me and we are all together, practically everyone went, wow. And their jaws dropped. Profound. How profound. But actually it's stupidity. Because I am me, and you are you, and we are not together. I mean, it is not one. We are individuals. But these things, when presented in a certain way, with a certain air of authority, and people, innocent, foolish people, hear them, and they think, wow, they become impressed. Although actually it's rubbish. It's actually rubbish. It's misleading, it's incorrect, and it's even dangerous. But people think, wow, it's wonderful. So Lord Brahma, what a mistake he made. What a mistake he made. To try to impress Krishna, or really to try to make fun of Krishna. You think you've got some mystic power, look at this. So, Lord Brahma, in that mood of trying to mock Krishna, mock him sarcastically. Here, little boy. Hey, who do you think you are? In that mood, Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves, hid them in a cave, came back to see, assuming he would see, Krishna bewildered. What happened? Where is everyone? What's going on? It's a disaster. Expecting to see that, he came back. There's all the cowherd boys and calves with Krishna. And everyone was happy. Whoa, what happened? He quickly went back to check. They're still in the cave. He came back again. And then I don't think it has arisen yet. Well, I'm not sure if it has or not in the chapter, but or maybe it has. But he came back, and there they are again, but then they transform into Vishnu forms. That's already come up, yes. And what a shock that was. What a shock. I remember when I was young, I worked as a journalist. And, well, two interesting things happened in regard to our boss. The big boss. There were different levels of boss. And the big boss, he was really big. And you'd never see him. Like once a week you might see him. So this one new person didn't know who the boss was. Didn't even know his name. The boss phoned us little people, little journalists. And this person picked up the phone. And the man said, "It's Upton here." His name was Upton, Mr. Upton. "It's Upton here." And the young fellow said, "Yes, Upton." What you're meant to say is, "Yes, Mr. Upton, what can I do for you?" He said, "Yes, Upton." And then the second thing that happened was that Upton came down. Some other day, Upton came down, and there was a discussion going on amongst a few of the new people about Upton. What a nonsense he was. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Sri Gaunatai Kijai. This Upton, you know, he thinks he's such a big man, and what is he? We're doing all the work. Some sort of complaining. And who should walk in but Upton? And those who knew who he was immediately became silent, went back to work. But this other fellow, he just kept talking about how Upton was a nonsense. And even to Mr. Upton, he didn't last long on the job. So, Lord Brahma, he did something like that, but it backfired, and And he learned a lesson the hard way. You know, there are many lessons we have to learn. And sometimes you have to learn a lesson the hard way. Srila Prabhupada explains there are three or four categories of people in terms of learning lessons. Some can learn by hearing. Some can't learn by hearing, but they can see. They learn when they see someone do the wrong thing. Then they learn, oh, I better not do that. Some people, they don't learn that by hearing. They don't learn when they see someone do the wrong thing. But when they do the wrong thing, then they learn. And some people, the fourth class, they can't learn by hearing, by seeing others make mistakes. They don't even learn when they make mistakes. They don't learn. They're hopeless. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that we would be the first class. We just learn by hearing. But at least if we're not the fourth class, we may make it. If we at least learn when we make mistakes, or when Krishna gives us some special lesson, some wake-up call if we've become a little confused, a little bewildered, at least we should learn then. Lord Brahma is such a big person, but still he had to go through this publicly. By publicly I mean all the demigods found out that Brahma had done this. They all found out. We know this because when Lord Indra sent that big storm and there was the whole Govardhan Leela, Lord Indra, he was thinking the same thing. Who is this Krishna? Why do they glorify him? I'll show them who's great. So he sent the big storm. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. We all know the story very well. Lord Indra eventually, after 1 week, got the message. Whoops. Made a mistake. Uh-oh. And he offered prayers to Krishna. And Krishna accepted the prayers in a very nonchalant type of way. And then Indra left. But Indra was still feeling very bad. So there are descriptions by our acharyas that Indra, even after being forgiven by Krishna, he still felt too bad. He just couldn't deal with it. He was just too disturbed that I offended Krishna in this way. What am I and what's going to happen to me? He just felt too devastated. So he wanted to know what to do. So he went and spoke to Lord Brahma. And he told Brahma that, you know, I just offended Krishna. And Lord Brahma said, I know. I was watching. And Indra said, the thing is, though, the reason I've come to you is because I know you also recently offended Krishna. But now somehow or other you kind of settled the whole matter and you're okay and you're feeling okay and your life is carrying on. But I just feel too bad. So can you tell me, what did you do to make amends and just deal with your offense? How did you do it? And Lord Brahma laughed and said, yes, it's true, I offended Krishna, but not like you. Not like you. Your offense is much worse. And Brahma told Indra, I don't know what to say. I don't have a suggestion. And Indra broke down and just completely broke down and begged him, you have to help me. There's no one else who can help me. And then Lord Brahma told him to take shelter of Surabhi. And eventually Lord Indra, Surabhi took Lord Indra to Navadvipa, to Surabhi Kunj, and there Lord Indra met Lord Chaitanya, and then he was able to overcome the whole, his offenses and his distress as a result of his offense. So Lord Brahma, his offense, his mistake, was public news. Just because he's such a very big man doesn't mean it was all kept quiet and nobody knows. But everybody, at least all the demigods, all the great sages, all the important people in the universe, they all knew. So it was very embarrassing for Lord Brahma. Extremely embarrassing. But still Krishna did it, because sometimes you have to learn a lesson the hard way, even if you're a big, important person. Sometimes it's the only thing which will work to get the message across so you actually accept it and then change the way that you act and that you live. So this is happening here with Lord Brahma. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes, Guru Shakti Guru.
When did Brahma offer prayers to Krishna or Brahma Samhita?
Before. When, so the question is, when did Brahma offer to speak the Brahma Samhita? It was before.
Before?
Right, yeah, before. Long time before.
Beginning of the creation.
Yes, back in those days. Yeah. But still, despite having had that realization, still he made this mistake. So like we were saying yesterday, you're never too big. In this material world, you're never too big to make a mistake. Therefore, stay humble. Stay under the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Don't try to be your own shelter, because it won't work for long. Maybe, you know, you can impress people for a while, but after a while, your shortcomings will just show themselves. First there was Brahma Samhita. Then there was the incident of Brahma chasing his daughter. And then this. And after this, Lord Brahma thought, you know, look at me. Look at what I'm doing, what I keep doing. It's happened again. After I chased my daughter, and then I thought, I'll never deviate again, ever. But now this happened. So Lord Brahma thought, I need to really learn a lesson. I need to really take a humble position. Then he appeared as Haridas Thakur, as a Muslim, in a very low position in Indian society. And of course the devotees respected Haridas Thakur very much. Means the associates of Lord Chaitanya, but others didn't. The Muslims definitely didn't. They actually tried to kill him. But the general Hindus didn't respect Haridas Thakur. They would not allow him in the Jagannath temple. Even Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they were not allowed in the temple because people knew they had been connected with Muslims, even though they were Saraswat Brahmins, high-level Brahmins. Yeah. So Lord Brahma wanted to go through that a whole lifetime just so he could learn to be humble and learn how to take disrespect and abuse from others, but remain fixed in the proper consciousness. So now, Lord Brahma is in the highest, in a higher level of Krishna consciousness than he was at this time, through going through this experience, but particularly through going through the experience of being Haridasa Thakur. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.